Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone. All right, let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. Open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. The book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. I've been wondering something lately. Why does bad things happen to good people? The issue of theodicy. Sometimes life comes at us fast. And I'm asking, why does bad things happen to good people? As I look at Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, in the context, the disciples are asking Jesus sort of the same question. Were the people in Galilee worse sinners than anyone else? And Jesus says, no, the same will happen to you unless you repent. Well, how about these folks in Jerusalem? No, these things will happen to you unless you repent. And then Jesus goes into this parable about this barren fig tree, this fruitless fig tree. Let's hear what he has to say. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the wine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, leave it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to the Lord. As I look at this text, this pericope this morning in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9, I think the kingdom of God demands some things from us. The kingdom of God demands urgency. The kingdom of God demands fruitfulness. And I think the kingdom of God demands mercy because it offers mercy. So first of all, the kingdom of God demands urgency. As you look at this text in Luke chapter 13, verse 6 and verse 7, and he told this parable, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the wine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come. Maybe for season after season, he's come looking for fruit. Maybe this fig tree hasn't produced fruit yet because of the complexity of its root system. Sometime in the ancient world, the fig tree would take up to 1, maybe 2, even 3 years to produce some fruit. There's this idea in the text that maybe it has given as much time as he's willing to give. So he says, cut it down. Because he's been seeking fruit on this fig tree. He said, cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? One translation says it best. Why should it continue to take up space? Because there's nothing there. There should be some urgency as we respond to the kingdom of God. He said, these things will happen to you unless you repent. And year after year, season after season, he would come by looking for some fruit on this fig tree. Is there anything that will show up on this fig tree. And major, he's looking for an urgent response to the kingdom of God. Maybe that one would repent. A few Sundays ago, I was sitting in my office after service. A young lady came into my office and she said, "Pastor, have you heard the news?" And I said, "Heard what news?" She said, "Kobe Bryant passed." I said, "What you mean he passed?" She said, "He died." I said, "Girl, quit playing." I said, what's really going on is that LeBron overtook his scoring title last night. That's what you're talking about." She said, "No, he died." I said, "He couldn't have died, because in my mind at that moment, Kobe Bryant was immortal. I felt like he was gonna live a long time. I felt like everything was gonna be all right." And she said, "No, he died and everybody on the helicopter died." And I said, "Girl, quit playing." I almost like told her to get out of my office. But as the reports kept coming in, it was true. That somebody I thought that was bigger than life actually passed away. And it didn't just shock me, but I think it shocked most of us. It shocked the world at large. Memorials started popping up everywhere. But you know what it started reminding me of? We need to be urgent as it relates to the kingdom of God. We need to respond as it relates to the kingdom of God, because it could happen to us. It could happen to anyone. We never know the day and the hour in which the Lord may call our name. Are you all awake this morning? Are you all with me this morning? You never know when the Lord may call your name. I'm thinking about China right now, and I've been praying for China with this coronavirus. And as the death toll keeps creeping up, I'm praying. I'm saying, "Lord, allow this to go away." But literally hundreds of people have been affected by this virus. And someone even asked the question, does that mean that they're worse sinners than we are? Certainly not. But it does mean this: you never know when the Lord may call your name. When nightclubs are being shot up, when people are involved in mass shootings, you never know. And there needs to be an urgency. There needs to be an urgency as we respond to the kingdom of God. Even as you sit here and listen to me this morning, are you urgent as it relates to the kingdom of God? Because year after year, he's coming by my tree. Year after year, he's coming by your tree, and he's looking for fruit. Some would say, arguing this text, that the fig tree is representation of the nation of Israel. Some would argue that it's representation of individuals. Some would argue that it's representative of those who would follow the kingdom. You know, I think there's a message in here for all of us. How are you responding to the kingdom's message? Are you urgent as it relates to the kingdom's message? Maybe some of you, even as you sit here and listen to me this morning, you're sleepy. Can't wait for this to be over. I hear the growl of your stomach. Some of you all can't wait for lunch, just lunch. You're more urgent about lunch than you are the message. Some of you are urgent to graduate. Some of you are urgent to find a Valentine's before Friday. Y'all praying with me, aren't you? Just work with me here. But I want you to be urgent as it relates to responding to the kingdom. But not only that, I think that the kingdom demands fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. You know, the owner of this fig tree said, "Cut it now." He spent too much time being disappointed. It's wasting too much space. It's taking up space and it's being fruitless. I think that the kingdom of God demands fruitfulness. He says in verse 8, and he answered him, "Sir, leave it alone this year." I like what one translation does. It says, "Leave it alone and then give it another year." Sir, leave it alone this year until I dig around it and put on manure, some fertilizer on it. Brothers and sisters, I think that the kingdom demands fruitfulness. Some of us think we're fruitful if we show up for chapel in the morning. I got my card scanned. I'm fruitful. Some think we're fruitful if we have good church attendance. I go to church on Sunday, and especially if you're a part of a small group at your local church, you really are fruitful then, right? Some believe if they're fruitful if you just attend the Bible college. I don't have to go to church because I go to chapel every day. If you're just a part of a Bible college, you're fruitful. And I want to tell you, with all that religious stuff, those religious activities, doesn't make you fruitful any more than spending the night in the garage makes your car. So what makes me fruitful? What makes me fruitful? You're fruitful when you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Some joy, some patience, some temperance, some self-control. You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. I used to love this hymn we used to sing in chapel all the time. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus unless you trust and obey. How are you doing with that today? For Israel's leaders, they didn't trust and obey or believe. What about you? Are you yielding to the Spirit this morning? Lord, take over my life. I yield my life to you. I trust you with my life. I want to obey you. You know, when I see Bill Jones sitting on the front row over here, often when he speaks in chapel, like he will Thursday of this week, he oftentimes tells us about someone he's just led to Christ. Because for him, it makes him urgent. It makes him fruitful as he shares the message of the gospel. When's the last time you shared your faith with anyone? You are urgent. You want to be fruitful about sharing this message. I was challenged lately not just to share it when I'm preaching, but share it personally. Share the good news of the gospel. Are you fruitful today? Have you given yourself a thought scorecard that you think if I just do all of these activities, it makes me fruitful? Maybe some of us think that we need more of the Spirit, and I'm here to challenge you that the Spirit needs more of you to be fruitful. Brothers and sisters, who am I preaching to today? That as you look around your life, maybe you've been here 3.5 years and you're looking to graduate this semester. But as you look back over your freshman year, your sophomore year, and your junior year, wake up, wake up. You don't see any fruit in your life. You don't see an attitude of yielding to the Spirit in your life. It shows up in the way you respond to authority. It shows up in the way you respond to your classmates. It shows up in the way you respond to Christ. And maybe this morning, he said, give them one more year. Give them one more year. Let me pay special attention to this person. Let me give them one more year. It's almost like, let me give them one last chance. You never know when it's your day. You never know when it's your hour, and you haven't responded clearly to the message of Christ. Well, as I look at this text, it says, sir, leave it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. You know, this fertilizer, this manure, this dung that this text talks about, I have to ask you this question. How much manure does he have to put on our lives in order to get us to respond to him? How much poop? Am I preaching to the right group right now? How much poop does he need to put on our lives to get us to respond to him? Matter of fact, you're sitting there this morning and you thought somebody just simply passed gas. What you really smell is poop on their lives, because God wants to get, I saw somebody just smelling up under their arms just then. God wants to get their attention and says, you know what, brothers and sisters? How much manure do I have to put on your life? You all remember the may you all too young to remember this movie, Back to the Future. Oh, y'all know the movie I'm talking about? And I don't know if it was in the first movie or the second movie. I think it was in the second movie. You remember they were being chased, and what had happened was the car ran up behind a manure truck and all the manure was dumped onto the car behind them. I wonder how many of you are about to get into a wreck and run into some manure. What does God have to do to get your attention? Are you all with me this morning? What does God have to do to get your attention? What does God have to do to make you urgent about the message this morning? What does God have to do to make you fruitful this morning? If you have seasons of fruitfulness, you need to say, Lord, help me get out of this. Because when you respond to the kingdom, when you're repentant, there should be some fruit that follows that repentance. It's time for a pop quiz. Now, this is one of those tests you can't cheat on. You can't look in someone else's life and add it to your life. But when you look at your life, have you been seeing any fruit? Has the Lord been trying to get your attention? You know, I was in chapel when Victor preached last week, and he talked about to know him, and I thought he was being brilliant too. He talked about drawing near to God. One time, Dr. Smith told us as a faculty and staff, if we know him, there should be no problem making him known. But you know what's between to know him and to make him known? Maybe it's the sin that gets in between those two statements that keeps us from making him known. One person said it this way, that the gospel may be deeply personal, but it should never be deeply private. Am I preaching to the right crowd today? I hope you're feeling a little bit more urgent. Lord, help me to bear fruit as I yield to you, as I'm more obedient to you. I hope your head is not becoming bigger, but your heart is becoming smaller while you're here. Because you've made up your mind that I don't want to be like this barren tree. But not only does the kingdom demand urgency, and not only does the kingdom demand fruitfulness, but I think there's a third thing here. I think the kingdom demands mercy. And not that we offer mercy to one another, but it offers mercy to us. In verse 9, it says this. This wine dresser, this gardener says this to the owner. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. You know, God is so faithful. He continues to offer mercy that they would respond properly at last to him. He wanted to give Israel's leaders this lasting chance to respond properly to him. I think he gives us that same opportunity. My granddaddy used to tell me all the time, as long as there's life, there's hope. As a matter of fact, the night that he died, I was 14 years old, and he kept saying, as long as there's life, there's hope. And he encouraged everyone around his bed to keep on sharing the gospel, because as long as there's life, there's hope. Look at the verse again. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. That's the mercy of God. But I think equally is the mercy of God. But if not, you can cut it down. How is that mercy? I've heard preachers say before I make the Lord look bad, Lord, take me home. Before I allow unrepentant sin to get in my life and embarrass you. Yesterday I was reading several different leaders across the country going through several different things, and all of them having to resign suddenly because they've fallen into sin. And I drop my head, Lord, and say, Lord, protect me. Not only protect me, but protect you this morning. Lord, keep me from falling in unrepentant sin. Because if we don't bear fruit, because if we're not responding to the kingdom's message, but if not, cut it down. You know, thank God for his grace and thank God for his mercy, because he gives us the tools. He gives us his spirit. He gives us his word. He gives us one another, mainly to encourage us to respond to him. He gives us singing so we can respond to him. Are you responding to him this morning? Are you saying, Lord, I never want to be like the barren tree? Why does good things happen to bad people? Because we live in a fallen world. And you know what? Sometimes it's the consequences. I heard my good friend say one time, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Who am I preaching to this morning? Wake up! Who am I preaching to this morning? You know you're barren. You're full of leaves, but no fruit. Wake up and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be fruitful in this season. And somebody may be waiting for another season to be fruitful. Maybe it's when I leave CIU, I'll be fruitful. Maybe it's when I get 30, I'll be fruitful, or 40, or 50. There's no better time than the present, because no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will return. Am I preaching to you today? How much manure does he need to put on my life to get me to be fruitful? Brothers and sisters, that's our challenge today, because the kingdom of God demands urgency. It demands fruitfulness, and the kingdom of God demands mercy, because our Lord offers mercy to each and every one of us. Shall we pray? Lord, I pray for us today as we sit here in the quietness of this moment. And I pray for those who have been here for some seasons. Maybe some have been here 1 year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. Maybe they're seniors now. And Lord, in all of their studies, they're growing in head knowledge. But Lord, have they responded to the message of the kingdom? Are they being fruitful? Are they recognizing good fruit that's showing up in their lives? I pray spiritually for each and every person in this room that, Lord, you would begin to speak to them clearly right now concerning where they are with you. Speak to me right now. Speak to the faculty, God. Speak to the administrators, God. Help us all, God, to be fruitful. I pray that we don't make straight A's in someone's grade book and flunk out in your grade book, because we've missed this season, this opportunity of being fruitful for you. I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who gives us the opportunity to respond with his mercy and grace. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.